Good evening. How y'all doing tonight? I know it's cold in here. Y'all gonna have to heat it up better than that. All right. Praise God. The heat came on, right? All right. I was just resolved though. We're gonna heat it up with the Spirit. Okay. if we can't get no heat in here from the, we're gonna get it from the Lord. All right. Okay. Got to get y'all pumped up because we're gonna be talking about prayer tonight. You know, prayer and fasting. Prayer is the one that everybody knows about. Fasting, some of y'all, maybe not so much, okay? So tonight, as we look in God's scripture, we're gonna get some ideas on this and what God says about these two issues. But this is not gonna be a complete study on prayer, okay? A complete study on prayer. We have a prayer class that I think would be an amazing thing for every one of our members to take, you know, because prayer is way deeper than what we're going to talk about tonight. But tonight we're going to get to see from God's scripture where we have a model prayer and it can help us. Okay. Here's the thing I know for sure. I can't make it without prayer. Amen. And neither can you. Okay, but because if I don't communicate with my Lord, I'm meaningless to anybody else, okay? Because that's the truth of the matter. I have to pray. And I don't have to pray because I'm supposed to pray. I have to pray because I cannot make it without Him. I cannot make it without God's provision. I cannot make it without God's wisdom. I just cannot make it, okay? And until you admit that, you're not ever going to pray, okay? Prayer is powerful stuff. And I'm going to tell you what, prayerlessness will kill a church. Prayerlessness will kill a community. Prayerlessness will kill a relationship, okay? And so what we're going to be talking about tonight, prayer and fasting, it's a very meaningful and powerful thing. And so just hold on, and we got a lot of scriptures to go through. If I keep y'all long, y'all just going to have to fire me. But we got to go with it tonight, okay? Last week we saw Jesus start the chapter with a warning to be careful in how we give, okay? That was the very first deal in chapter 6 was be careful. We learned that it's not what we give that is rewarded by God, but it's the heart and the motive that's recognized. Right? Didn't matter what we give, it's the heart behind it, okay? Because God is more interested in who we are than what we do, okay? I just want y'all to know that. All the doing that you do, God is more interested in who you are and why you do it than what you do, okay? And so we made the comparison between religion and relationship, okay? Because a lot of us would like to buy into the religion because you like rules that say, this is right, this is wrong, then I'm righteous if I do this, okay? Well, God doesn't do it that way. God allows us to, He gives us some rules and He gives us religion and things like that, but He gave us a relationship with Himself. Okay? And so when you choose religion over relationship, you are missing the whole point why Christ came. Okay? There's a relationship that comes to it. And that's why we pray, because we have a relationship with God. Not to get a relationship with God, it's because of that love for Him that motivates us to pray. Anybody here admit that they need help in their prayer life? Okay? Alright. See, that's why these messages are so, we're so messed up, okay? That's the bottom line. Every one of us are messed up. We need God, alright? That's the main thing. And so it just amazes me that even tonight, in the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, it's a model that we're gonna use tonight, and that's the context that we're doing. Even in the Lord's Prayer, left in the hands of religious folks has become probably the most misused prayer to just pray religiously than any prayer in the world, okay? The Lord's Prayer, the model, the one that we're going to look at, religious folks have already turned it into something that God despises, okay? Just quoting words, you know, for no particular reason, okay? So I'm just telling you, if you allow yourself to be religious, you can do the same thing to some of the most holy things of God, okay? And so I just really want to challenge us to press into God. And we also learned last week that true believers of Christ are expected to give out of love for our Father, not out of compulsion or to be seen by others, okay? That's the same way with prayer and fasting, okay? We need to do it because of our love for the Father, not to be seen by men and not to be seen righteous, even to ourselves in that fasting, okay? Tonight we'll be continuing in Jesus' warning to be careful as we look at the areas of prayer and fasting. In both sections, He begins with when you pray and when you fast. So He's telling us that He expects Christians to pray and fast. Amen? Okay. Not out of duty or to be seen, but as means of the fellowship with Him in an intimate way. In the area of prayer, there's much spiritual warfare. Amen? Anybody ever experienced the day I got up to prepare this sermon, my septic system messed all up. Okay? I mean, I needed to be working on a sermon. I was working on something I didn't want to work on. Okay? But I'm going to tell you, I knew before I got up something was going to happen that day because He does not want us to get this prayer thing. Okay. And he's robbing you and he's robbing me. All right. He does not want you to get this. Okay. Satan does not want us to succeed in developing one of the most powerful tools that we have to defeat him. And you know why I know this is true? It's because when life gets busy, when times get busy, when stuff gets going on in the church, you know the first thing we abandon? Prayer. Okay. We scrap prayer, we get to doing. Okay. Man, if you're doing and you're not praying, you don't need to be doing nothing. Okay. We need to pray first before we do anything. All right. So he tricks us into settling for a mediocre, routine prayer life. Anybody been there? And what happens with that, it results in a mediocre and routine relationship with God. I'm going to tell you, your prayer life is a dictation of your relationship with God. You cannot have a strong prayer life and have a good relationship. You cannot have a weak prayer life and have a good relationship with God. You're just lying to yourself. Okay? Because that's where it comes from. It dictates where your relationship with God is. So if you're having trouble with prayer, you need to go back to your relationship with God. It's a love problem, okay? And so tonight I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm just trying to let you draw in because we're going to give you some tangible things that we can do so we can become a little bit more intimately involved with our Christ, okay? All right. And so at times it seems virtually impossible to stay close to God. Amen? At times, anybody agree with me there? Sometimes it's hard, right? Okay, what did I say last week about impossibilities? What are we supposed to do? When we're presented impossibilities as Christians, what are we supposed to do? Run to Jesus. Okay, when something comes to you that's impossible, run to Jesus because He got all the answers. Okay, and I promise you He's got all the answers. Because we serve an amazing God who pursues us in our time of need and in the area of prayer when we don't even know what to pray. You know what the Spirit says it does for us? God prays for us. So if you say, man, I don't know how to pray, this praying is kind of weird, you just close your eyes and say, God, help, and shut up, okay? And let Him pray for you, okay? Because that's the God. He wants you to get it more than you want to get it, okay? So just let God do it for you. Okay? But as we'll see tonight in Scripture, He gives us a warning and He gives us instructions. So He don't just give us the warning. He doesn't say, this is what you shouldn't do. He comes in and says, but this is what you should do. He's been doing it all through this sermon because we serve a loving God, okay? And He wants the best for us. So the instructions that we're going to get are to help us draw closer to Him. He wants us to succeed more than we want to. Tonight in His Word, He will show us how. He's an amazing, loving God and wants a relationship more than any act of righteousness that we may perform. And He's asking us tonight to press into Him. Okay, and I'm asking you tonight to press into God. And our desire shouldn't be more gifts, more anything. It should be more Jesus. Okay, let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank You for tonight. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your challenge. Lord, but I thank You for Your guidance. God, You just lead us. And so, God, I pray that You would just go through hearts here tonight and just begin the process of showing us how to pray. Lord, showing us where we're missing it and, God, showing us what to do. Thank You for your convicting Spirit. But God, thank You for Your Spirit that does it for us. Thank You, Jesus, for being our God. Amen. And so, Matthew 6, starting in verse 5 through 18. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into the room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Do not be like them, okay? Do not be like them. It says, and when you pray, it's assumed, you're a Christian, you should be praying. Okay? Do not be like the hypocrites. We talked about the hypocrites last week. The actors. They were out there giving, making a big fanfare thing, making sure everybody got to see them. They were acting out acts of righteousness. And so these same hypocrites here, for they love standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. These guys were out there in full garb praying prayers probably as loud as you could say. They wanted people to know that they were praying. They wanted people to know that they were spiritual. Okay? And so, but the Word says, God's Word says, they have received their reward in full. And see, because it's really weird. I mean, that somebody would even do that. You don't see that much around here. We do it a little more covertly. Okay? We don't do it out there in front of everybody. But it's crazy to think of that how futile that act really is. Okay? Because prayer in its own definition is always, and in the Bible, to God. For me to be praying for you to hear is ridiculous anyway because I'm not praying. That's not prayer. That's talking. That's babbling. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. True prayer, true biblical prayer is only to God. Okay? And so, you're out there trying to impress somebody by the way you pray. I mean, if you're not praying to God, you're not even praying. Okay? It says, but, okay, he's giving them the warning, all right? But, here we go. He's saying, I'll show you the way. Let me show you how to pray. Let me give you some instructions here. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And man, when I looked at that, the fact that you go to your Father who is unseen. I'm going to tell you, for people who don't believe in Christ, praying is intellectual suicide to them, okay? Because we're praying to somebody who's unseen, you know? But I'm going to tell you, that's what makes God the most amazing God there is that He's unseen. I can't figure Him out, okay? So when I go to that unseen God, you know what I'm showing? I'm acknowledging that I do believe that there's a God out there, somebody bigger than me, okay? And I'm also exhibiting faith. When I pray to somebody unseen that nobody can put a picture on, I am showing faith. And I'm showing faith to the world. I'm showing faith to myself. But he gave a little tangible thing here that I think is really important. He said, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. In closing the door, and I'm going to tell you, every time I preach, every week I preach, I practice what I preach because I'm going to tell you, I'm preaching to me as much as I am to y'all. Okay? It says, close the door. Closing the door signifies that you're alone with God. Okay, and I got up this week, I was going to get up and begin to pray about this, I was praying in bed, I got up, I was going to go to my chair, and I thought, man, I'll close the door, you know. You know about prayer closets and things like that, you know. So I got off in my closet, and I'm like, ain't nothing but shoes and stuff in here, you know. don't have no air conditioning vent, nothing like that. Smells different in a closet, y'all know that, you know. But I'm going to tell you, when you shut that door behind you in that closet, I'm going to tell you what, it's you and God. And it's a sweet time. You know, so if you've never done that, if you've never gone in, closed the door behind you and said, God, this is me and you. I don't care. Nobody else needs to see what I'm doing. This is me and you. We're going to have some time together. And I'm going to tell you what, God will begin to reveal some things to you. We'll talk about that in a minute, okay? But closing the door. True effective prayer needs no audience. Amen? Okay? It's between you and God. It doesn't matter what you say or how you say it. Between you and God. In 2 Kings 4:33, when Elisha was called to pray for the Shunammite woman's son, okay, this is what Elisha did. He went in, shut the door on the two of them and prayed. The Shunammite, she called Elisha in to pray. The boy was dead, okay? He goes in, he shuts the door and prays. The boy's dead, okay? Elisha's thinking, I don't need nobody else in here. I don't need no godly counsel, okay? Only God can raise this boy from the dead. And I don't need to have any time with nobody else, okay? And so there's some times that some of us need to get along with God, and we've got to realize that we need God more than we need anything. We need God more than we need our community group leader for advice, okay? We need God more than we need our pastor for advice, okay? We need God because we got the Holy Spirit inside of us, okay? We need God. Sometimes we need to just get along with God because He's going to talk to us the way we understand because we're His children. We need God, okay? And Jesus would retreat to places to pray along with God. You see, last week we saw Jesus. He did nothing that He didn't see the Father doing. Even in giving, I kind of use that as an example. Jesus didn't do nothing belonged to Jesus. Everything Jesus did, He did because He saw the Father doing it. And Jesus, as our example, did the same thing. He would retreat to secluded places and pray. Okay? We need to get alone. That's the first thing. So practice. Go this week. Get alone with God. Whatever that takes. Sometimes it takes a little bit of work. I'm going to make a statement to you here. If you're not praying in private, you should not pray in public. I'm just telling you, if you don't have a private prayer life, you have no business in here spouting off prayers in front of everybody here. Okay? Ouch or whatever. I'm just telling you it's the truth. Because we don't need to hear from you if you hadn't heard from God. Okay? And so don't look at it as conviction. Just get right. Okay? Begin to pray. Begin to have a quiet time. We're going to get in there. We're going to give you some tangible things. Okay? Because getting alone is uncomfortable. Getting along with God is uncomfortable because when you get along with God, God gets on you. You know? I know He gets on me. When you get along with God, because I remember, even in the prayer class, I didn't take the prayer class, but I was reading the book and thing and talked about significant time. And man, the first time I sat down in my chair to have that significant time with the Lord and get along with, and I, Man, I was going through so many things in my mind, and I'm thinking, man, this is God's time. And my mind was going crazy. Everything in my day was going through my mind. Anybody? Can anybody relate out there? Okay? Anybody relate with me out there? Because when you get alone, I couldn't zone off and listen to one of my great praying brothers in this group, okay? Because when I'm praying in a group, if I'm not really fired up about it, my mind's wondering, I can listen to Joyce's prayers, or I can listen to Barney's prayers, I can listen to anybody's prayers, and I can agree with them, and I can think I'm praying, okay? But here's the thing. My prayers are between me and God, okay? And so when I get alone and my mind's dealing, I have to deal with it, because ain't nobody else going to talk to me, okay? I'm not going to get anything else from God unless I dig in and I press in, okay? So prayer, you got to get along with God. And nobody wants to, because it's hard, because God deals with you when you get along with Him. But I'm going to tell you, it's the best thing in the world when our Father deals with us, huh? Man. And you look at this and it said, see what is done in secret, and it says, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So we're talking about being alone with God, but these verses aren't saying that you don't pray in public, okay? And you don't pray out loud. It's not saying that, okay? Because we see in worship in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, that was part of the church's worship, was to pray out loud, okay? The early church, man, some of the greatest times that they had and some of the greatest times where God came in and did some things was when they were together praying, okay? The Acts church. And I'm about to get lost here. All right. And Jesus, I mean, we see Him in the feeding of the 4,000 and the 5,000. He prays openly and publicly, okay? So we're not saying that you can't pray out loud. All I'm saying is check your heart. I'm talking to check your heart because God sees you. It's not what you do, remember? It's why you do it. And you can pray some of the craziest prayers out there if you want to, but if it's the right heart, man, God blesses that, okay? It's all your motive, okay? Because God sees your heart. Let's go on. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And this idea of babbling, okay? I'm good at that sometimes, you know. But babbling is empty discussion on useless subjects, you know. And I even added in routine and repetitive things, okay? I mean, if you've got your little pet prayer thing, I mean, you've got to realize, you got to check your heart. This is something that really God was working on me this week, and I've had to make some adjustments in how I pray. You know, the next corporate prayer, I might not say nothing. Because, man, I'm evaluating myself, and I'm thinking, man, I've got these routine prayers that are coming across, and I'm like, am I really praying? You know, babbling. I mean, we say religious terms. You know, it don't have to be words. I mean, we can say God's name over and over. Father this, Father that, God this, Lord that. And then we use all these names. And if we just keep on repeating those names, and we've got, I mean, I seem like I have a good little prayer when somebody comes over to eat. Okay. I got this good little prayer for all this other things. Okay. But I find myself drifting into a little pattern of prayer instead of praying with my heart. Okay? And so God is beginning to check me on that. And so it doesn't mean that I can't use those kind of prayers, but I'm going to tell you, I need to check my heart. Okay? All right. And the pagans, you know, they're the ones that they don't have any religion, the worldly, the heathen. Okay? In Ecclesiastes 5:2, it says, do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. And again in verse 7 in Ecclesiastes 5, it says, stand in awe of God. There's nothing wrong with just praying and being quiet. We don't need to be telling God everything that we need all the time, okay? And we're going to find out here we do ask and things like that, okay? That's not a bad thing. I'm just telling you, there are times we just need to stand in awe of God. God, you're letting me come before your throne because I'm your child. Wow. You know, I mean, that's some of that, that's a prayer. You know, wow, God, show me, do something, you know? I need you. We got to be really careful, okay? Because they think they'll be heard because of their many words. And do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And you think, well, if God already knows what I need before I ask Him, why do I need to ask, right? You ask yourself that question? No, don't ask yourself that question. Because asking is a big deal, okay? Asking in prayer is a big deal. Matthew 7:7-12, He tells us to ask, seek, and knock. I mean, there's plenty of stories where He says, persevere in your prayers as well. You just keep on asking. You know, sometimes do not give up. Ask. And in James 4:2, it says, you do not have because you do not ask. Okay? So God wants us to ask, and we're going to look at that in just a little bit, right? Then in 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We ask, He hears us. Amen? God of the universe hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask. Okay? It doesn't mean you're going to get everything you ask for from the Lord. God wants you to ask. Because the purpose is not to align God to us, but to align us to God. Okay? And I ask Him, we're not saying, God, you need to do this because I went through all the little program here that you decided, and, you know, this, I did it right, okay? In Jesus' name. I finished it within Jesus' name. You need to hook me up, you know? But that's not the case. See, prayer is to get us to God, not God to us. Okay? Alright? And then when we don't know how to align to God, we need to be quiet, let the Spirit intercede for us, just like I said before, okay? Sometimes you don't even know what to ask. If you don't want to ask, just be quiet. Let the Spirit speak to you. He'll tell you what to ask. But there's a cool thing about asking. When you ask and receive, here's what happens. You've asked for something, you see it, you give God the credit. Okay? You didn't make it happen. Okay? You experience God personally. Because you took time, you said, God, I need this specific thing. And all of a sudden, God provides this specific thing. I can tell you 100 times how God has provided for me, but you will never experience God as your provider until He provides something for you. Okay? So you need to get in the, we all need to ask our Father. We need to give God a chance to show out for us. Okay? Because He wants to. He wants to reveal Himself to us. He's not hiding from us. He wants to reveal Himself to us. Okay? And so, get alone. Don't babble. Be sincere. That's the mode, okay? That's some ground rules for us, okay, as we begin. So now we're gonna look at the Lord's Prayer, and we're gonna break this down and stuff. And so, but as we get in this, we begin to break it down. I don't want you to just break down each, I tell you what was so amazing for me, instead of just looking at this and studying it and breaking all this stuff down, I was in my closet, I prayed this prayer, I closed my eyes, and it was an act of worship, and I prayed this prayer, and this is where a lot of the stuff comes from that God gave me on this, okay? And so I want you to do the same thing. Use this as a model. This isn't the way to pray. This is a pattern. This is a model. And religious folks want a pattern that says, we gotta do it this way every time. Heck no. I mean, in the prayer class, there's some other petition, meditation. There's a lot of ways to pray and some structure. There's nothing wrong with having structure in your prayer, because some of us are so scatterbrained, we don't even know how to pray. Okay? But that's why I said, teach us to pray. That's what He's gonna do right here. Jesus is gonna teach us to pray. Okay? He says, then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Okay, that's the prayer. So let's go back to the beginning. It says, our Father. And man, I just had to stop right there. Our Father. I mean, the impact of that statement of our Father, okay? The father has authority over the child, okay? The father has authority over the child, but he's not only the authority, he's daddy. Because there's two sides of God, our Father. And for some of y'all that maybe not have a father that you could actually respect and think of the authority and really look up to him and even consider him as a daddy, as a provider, as a lover. If you've never had that, this idea of father may be a little foreign to you, okay? But here's what I want to tell you. Just like some of you, single ladies have made Jesus your husband, okay? For some of us have never had that father figure, he's our father, okay? He's not only our father, he's the best father there is, you know? He's the best father there is. He'll do anything for us. He loved, he died for us, okay? We got an amazing daddy, all right? And he's our father, he's our authority. He has the authority to tell me what to do. But also, he has the love and kindness to come pick me up, say, you did it again. Come on, dude. Let's go. You know, I love you anyway. You know, daddy, I messed up again. You know, what's your daddy going to do? Tell you, leave? He's your daddy. He's our father. And he's in heaven. And the impact of that, what about that, huh? He's in heaven. He's above us. Heaven is way above us, and He sees everything. He's all knowing. So your little bitty things you're going through right now, they ain't nothing. They're in heaven. But you just think about being heaven higher. I mean, when you get up higher, you see things differently than when you're on the ground. You know, I mean, that's why football players, the offensive coordinators get in the press box. Because they get to see things that the people on the field don't, but they see it and they radio down and say, well, y'all need to do this because this is going on from up here, you know? And that's the way God is. He's in heaven. He's above us. He knows more than you. Okay? He knows more than you. So He's your Father. He loves you. And He's your authority. And He's in heaven. He knows more than you. Okay? So quit thinking you got it all figured out. He loves you. Isaiah 55:9 says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts, your thoughts. So anytime you think you got it figured out, and you don't think you need to ask God about something, then you better back up. I mean, you better back up as a Christian because you begin to do things on your own, you talented people are going to get in trouble. Because you can do ministry well with talent. But you can't do godly ministry without God. Okay? Talent will mess some of y'all up. I'm just telling you. Okay? Because you need that. You need God. Okay? Ain't no problem for me. I know I need God. I got to beg every week, you know, God, give me something, you know. And so I don't have that problem. The talent's not there. The calling's there, okay? The love of God is there. And God uses what you bring to the table, okay? All right. Hallowed be your name. That's honored, holy, set apart. It's opposite of common. See, we don't serve no common God. You know, our God is amazing. Our God's amazing, okay? Hallowed be your name. So, man, just stand in awe, reverent fear, and God is God, and you're not. Hallowed be your name. That name, man, we got to be careful how we throw that name around, okay? In our prayers and in the way we talk and stuff, hallowed be thy name. There's nothing common or ordinary about our God. So we need to pray with Him with honor in His name, by the way we approach Him, and how we use His name. Okay, we got to be really careful how we just throw out Jesus' name, you know. We got to be careful how we do that, okay. We do pray in Jesus' name because Jesus is the one who intercedes to the Father for us, okay. The only way we're going to get to the Father is through Jesus, okay. That's it. Jesus is our dude, I mean, our Savior. He's our dude too, man. He loves us, you know. I mean, He's our dude, He's our Savior. He's awesome, okay. Then and only then, when you have that kind of attitude, when you approach your Father, can you even say the next part of this prayer? Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. See where the focus of the prayer gets off of you completely? It's God's kingdom, okay? It's focused on His name, His kingdom, His will. Basically, we're telling God, what you want, you get. God, I'm yours. You settled that on the cross, I'm yours. I'm bought at a price. Here I am. Use me. Okay? And Jesus modeled that in the garden. Again, Jesus, our great model, modeled that in the garden for us. It says, not as I will, but as you will. And we come with Him in humility. Okay? And so we say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And He says, our Father. Okay? So the next part of this prayer talks about this isn't just a prayer for you and God. This is a prayer. This is our Father. This is everybody. Okay? So this is the Father in your prayer. We're asking not only for the needs of me. I'm forced in this prayer to look to the needs of others as well. See, we're a part of a worldwide family of believers. He's our Father. He's not just your Father. I'm sharing Him with you. He's my Father, but He's our Father. All right? We're a part of a worldwide family of believers. We have no right to ask for anything that would harm another member of the family. That's going to change some prayer life right there, huh? If you begin to consider what you're asking, how that might impact somebody else, maybe even across the world, okay? We need to pray differently sometimes. If we're praying in the will of God, the answer will be a blessing to all God's people in one way or the other, okay? Because God works all things together for the good for those who are called according to His purpose, okay? So we got to consider others when we pray. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But God, I don't need it to rain. We're having a birthday party today. You know? When your brother probably needs rain for whatever, you know? I mean, you know what I'm saying? We do that. We pray selfishly a lot of times, not even considering, well, if God answered that prayer, that might affect somebody negatively, okay? And so I'm not saying you ain't going to know. God's all knowing, you're not. But I'm just saying pray with the right heart. Pray with the right motives and pray in God's will. Because when you pray in God's will, you know what happens? You get it, okay? Everybody want to answer prayer? We got to push into God, okay? We got to push into God. So it starts out, the next passage here starts, give us this day our daily bread. And, you know, you look at that in the very beginning, as I looked at this, we're recognizing God as the provider of our daily provisions for us as well as others, okay? But as I met with Butch and Alan, and Butch said, you know what, Alan? He said, I don't even know if I can pray this prayer with integrity. And you know he's right, because you think, we're sitting here, we're thinking, give us this day our daily bread. And it's already in the cupboard. You know what I'm saying? We don't even know the impact of having to depend on God every day for our food. Okay? So I don't know that American Christians can even pray this with integrity. Okay? This is the big thing. I mean, but I'm going to tell you, when you say give us our daily bread, there's some people over in Malaysia and Africa and stuff, they live daily. Okay? And so when we have, you know, it's okay to ask God for things, okay? But don't just worry, give us this day our daily bread. You already got the daily bread. Let's pray for somebody else to get their daily bread. And let's do some things about it. Whatever, you know, put God on the work, okay? Because we have a hoarding mentality. See, we're just like the children of Israel, okay? God wanted to provide for them daily, and He provided more. They gathered up, and you know what happened to what they gathered up, right? It spoiled. So we're a bunch of hoarders, really, in America. We're a bunch of hoarders. You know, we don't know how to live. We don't want to live by faith and live on a daily basis, okay? But in this prayer, we can ask God, thank you for the daily bread that you've given. It could be a time of praise and thanksgiving in this part of the prayer as well, okay? But it's not just food. See, I think in this time we can even look, because the word that just stuck out to me as I was studying it, just daily. We get so caught up in the future, we forget to live in today. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You're not even promised tomorrow, okay? So we need to rejoice in today. And so He provides breath. Thank you, God. Thank you for my health. Thank you for job. You are a great provider, but I'm going to tell you, enjoy God today. Quit worrying about the future and say, God, what do you want me to do today? Thank you for today. So give us this day our daily bread. Father God, one day at a time. And forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And that word for debts, it's sins. Okay, that's the term used for sins. Okay, and so this is a time of personal confession. In Psalm 139:23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me, show me, and lead me." In this book here that from the prayer class, How to Develop a Powerful Prayer Life. Frizzell talks about this, and I couldn't put it any better, so I'm just going to read it, okay? I stole this one. Y'all like this? It's all Frizzell and God, okay? Consistent confession. If you don't like it, it's him too, you know? But you may not like it. Consistent confession is the primary way we receive God's forgiveness and maintain a spirit-filled life. It is impossible to maintain a spirit-empowered life without a consistent pattern of daily confession and repentance. So you can't do it without confessing. Consistent confession and cleansing represent the primary ways we grow and become conformed to the image of Christ. In fact, according to Psalm 66:18, failure to practice regular confession completely blocks the flow of answered prayer. If you don't confess, you ain't get no prayers answered. That's basically what he's saying. Okay, that's what the word says. All right. If I regard iniquity in my heart, then the Lord will not hear me. Through confession, thorough confession must be a consistent part of every balanced prayer life. For confession to be genuine, it must also be thorough. The psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and see that there's any wicked way in me." God's searching clearly implies a thorough process. Friend, you could not search a cluttered room by a brief casual glance any more than your heart could be searched by a 10-second examination. See, when we get into the confession part, we want to get that done. We think, God, tell me what's wrong. Oh, you can't think of nothing? I got something for you. You know, I got my list ready. You know, I had that ready before I got up. You know, and so, but that's, you know, this confession is a big deal. Far too many believers ask God to search their heart and then give Him about 10 seconds to do it. We often race through a confession time so we can quickly get to our list of wants and needs. A balanced biblical prayer life requires significant time and regular confession to God. Only then can God keep us truly filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, if you got sin in your life, you got to get rid of it. If you're going to fellowship with God, you've got to get rid of that sin. And you get rid of sin how? You confess your sin and you repent. You confess and repent. I don't care what sin you did. You confess and repent. Same story for every one of them. Okay? In Proverbs 28:13, it says, "He who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." Confession is the best thing in the world because it clears that slate. It gets you in that relationship with God, and it allows you to start over and over and over. God's got more grace than you got mess ups. Okay? So if you failed in prayer from this point, just confess and repent and get back on track. God loves you. He wants to hear from you. And you need to hear from Him. As we also have forgiven our debtors. And our forgiveness of others is important as well. And we see that in the parable of the unmerciful servant, Matthew 18, 21-35. The servant owed the king more than he could pay in 6 lifetimes, probably more than that. The king canceled his debt. The servant went out, and the first thing the servant did was go find somebody that owed him money and demanded payment and had him thrown in jail when he couldn't pay, okay? And then somebody told on the dude because he said, "Wait a minute, the king, didn't he just relinquish your debt?" So the guy comes and the king finds the guy and he says, "And you wicked servant." And he has him thrown into jail. And it says, "This is how your heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." See, in the way that you forgive others, that's the way God's going to forgive you. Forgiveness is a big deal, okay? You got to deal with unforgiveness in your heart. We must keep a clean slate with others to have an uninterrupted fellowship with God. So in this time of prayer, God, forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. We need to bow and we need to ask God, "God, reveal to me if there's somebody in there that I still have down here that I really need to do some deal with," okay? And deal with it because it's a big deal. Forgiveness. It says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I mean, that's a confusing statement. It says, "And lead us not into temptation." Like, God's going to do that. You know? We're asking God to lead us, okay? I mean, because the Bible tells us in James 1:13-14, says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone." God does not tempt you. "But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away." If you're tempted, it's your fault. Okay? It's not God's fault. God is not tempting you. He is not tempting you. Okay? The evil one wants to drag us away from God so that he can tempt us. If we follow closely to God, he will protect us and deliver us. You believe that? I believe that. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted," see, that's what God is saying. He will not let you be tempted but beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, He knows you're going to be tempted. But God's got a plan for when you get tempted. And you need to have a plan for when you get tempted. It says, "Because when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." Okay? For some of y'all, the way out is run. Temptation. See, in this part of the prayer, sometimes you need to ask God, "God, what are some areas that I need to stay away from? What are some areas that I'm going to be tempted to fail in? And what kind of situation in that area do I need to stay away from? You let me know that." Okay? That's what, and lead us not into, let me know, God, the way out. I'm going to tell you what, the way out is run to Jesus. You have a personal relationship with God, a very close and personal relationship with God. You're not going to want sin next to you. But you got to make a plan. Okay, because when it comes, you're going to get tempted. You got to know what you're going to do in situations, especially in areas that you know you're weak. If you know that you can't be in a position with somebody and you know that you're going to be tempted, you have to have a plan ahead of time, because if you go by your emotions and your feelings, you're going to fail every time. Okay? You got to have a plan. But He is the way out. Amen? And it says, "Lead us not into temptation." You know, and I looked at this, here's another way we can ask God, "Okay, God, where am I possibly tempting others? What is it in my life that may be causing a brother to stumble?" Even if it's something good. See, that's the time where we ask God, search me, O God, and find out if there's any wicked way in me. There might be something that I'm doing in front of somebody that's going to cause them to fail. Ask God to reveal those things to you in prayer. Because we want to be holy people, right? No, I ain't quit. No, that don't work. Right?
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 Right.
Okay, all right. Y'all going to sleep on me here. I know it's a long sermon, but I'm going to tell you, this is some good stuff, huh? This is some good stuff. But if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Isn't it weird? God, the way he writes it, where he talks about forgive our debts and sins and forgive those who have sinned against us. And then he says, lead us not into temptation in between two deals on forgiveness. I'm going to tell you what that tells me, that I'm going to be tempted not to forgive. And I need to ask God to show me, because it's a big deal, because it says, if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. It seems that Jesus is very clear that we need to forgive others for sinning against us. This forgiveness exhibited to others opens the door for us to receive forgiveness from God. Ephesians 4:32 tells us, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. If you're a Christian, if you're having a problem forgiving somebody, remember Christ forgave you, okay? And use that as your motivation. Use that as your motivation. If you've truly experienced God's forgiveness, then you will have a readiness to forgive others, okay? Is everybody always like that? No, if y'all are, y'all lying, okay? That readiness to forgive others don't come natural. That's supernatural, okay? That readiness to forgive others, okay? But here's the thing. I mean, I had a guy last week. Last week on the phone in my business, wasn't real happy with something. He cussed me out on the phone. I used to cuss back. I can't do it no more, you know? The Holy Spirit inside me won't let me do that. But I'm going to tell you, I was tempted to harbor some bitterness. And you know what? I hung up with him. I'm like, man, I'm so frustrated. And I'm sitting there, man, this ain't no good. Then, which ain't been in my shop in 6 months, you know? 8 months, you know? He walks in, hey, how's it going? You know? I'm like, man, Holy Spirit, Butch, and everybody, too, dang, you know? But he'll tell you if he's sitting there today, he said, you wasn't quite over it when I first got there, you know? Because I might not have been over when he left. My righteous side was, though, you know? I played the game just like anybody else. I'm going to tell you, this is true, okay? I still had this bitterness in my heart. But you know, for me, this is amazing, because the relationship that I have with God will not let me keep bitterness in my heart very long.
Amen.
Okay? Because what happened when I got home, I was still mad. I forgot about it. You know, I don't say I don't pray at night, but when I get home at night, if I hit the deal, I'm gone. You know, my time is in the morning with God mainly. You know, I prayed all during the day. But when I got up that next morning, went to my chair, going to have this great prayer time with God. What do you think God wanted to talk about? I was still mad, you know? But I'm going to tell you what, I could not get that stuff out of my mind. And he said, until you get that out of your mind, we can't talk, you know? And so my relationship with God and this prayer, this getting along with God every day, keeps me from letting bitterness sit. If you don't have a quality time with God, if you don't have a quiet time, if you don't have a time set aside for God, you're in danger of the devil wearing you out, okay? But these quiet and quality times, man, it's a great tool for us. And I got to see it this week, you know? God's amazing, you know, but we got to want to maintain that relationship with Him, okay? And there's a part in this prayer that is not found in most of the reliable manuscripts, and it's added to some. It says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, and so it's not in a lot of the most reliable manuscripts, but you still can't take away from the impact of what that's saying, okay? Praise and adoration should be an important part of our prayers. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Whether it was in every manuscript or not, it's amazing. Okay? It's still a big part of prayer. Prayer, praise and adoration should be an important part of our prayer, because it's really our primary purpose. So that's prayer. Y'all ready to go home and get after it? All right? Okay, good, good. We're going to talk about fasting. Y'all still ready? Y'all still ready? Because it says, when you fast, This ain't going to last real long because I don't like it either. No. I'm sorry, Lord. Y'all know me. I'm sorry. He knows I didn't mean that. He knows my heart. That's right. Yeah. What comes out of my mouth, I know I will overflow the heart and the mouth speaks. I know that. But I'm going to tell you, you don't like it either. Okay? And the reason I don't like it is because it's hard. Okay? It's a hard. Praying is a little bit easier. Fasting is hard because it takes me dying to myself. Anybody out there like doing that? So y'all can say the same thing I said. Y'all don't like it either. You know? But I'm going to tell you what. It's amazing. I want to tell you, it's one of the one of my pastor friends says it's the undiscovered key to unlock another aspect of your worship with God. See, some of y'all ain't tried it. I'm gonna tell you, try it. It says when you fast, and fasting, what fasting is, okay? It's abstaining from eating. Living Bible said decline your food for a spiritual purpose, denying yourself. True fast is the food. See, in our culture of self gratification and self indulgence. Nobody wants to do fasting, right? Nobody really signs up to fast. Okay? But I just want to give you a few little things, just a real quick deal through some of the Bible to where they fasted. In the Old Testament, it was associated with mourning. 1 Samuel 31:13, 2 Samuel 1:12, the people of Jabesh Gilead and David fasted and mourned over the death of Saul. See, they fasted in mourning, okay? And Nehemiah, Nehemiah 1:4, he fasted to prepare himself to go before the Lord with his request. And how many of us do that? We just show up God. You know? Come talk to me, you know? But Nehemiah knew he needed to talk to God, and it was going to be serious. He said, you know what? I need to get serious about this. And I'm going to tell you what, we need to get serious about talking to God sometimes. And that's what fasting shows. It shows God that we're serious. It shows God that we really understand that we need Him. And we're willing to deny ourselves. Other times fasting in hopes of possible change in God's mind. In 2 Samuel 12:16, David fasted over the child. You know, Samuel said the child was going to die, okay? David fasted. And he fasted and fasted and fasted. The child died. You know what David did? He got up from his fast, ate, and went and praised God. Went and worshiped God, okay? In this particular deal, David's fast didn't change God's mind. 1 Kings 21:27, Ahab fasted and God did change his mind and spared Ahab's life. But I don't want you to think, and I think we get these two aspects here because your fast does not have the ability to change God's mind. Fasting, God applies his mercy at his discretion. Okay? It's just like prayer. It does not move God to us. It moves us to God. Okay? But you might as well, get serious with God. Fasting is a serious thing, okay? But it's love and respect for God. That's why you do it, because you love and respect Him. Fasts were often declared for the Israelites when facing overwhelming odds. 2 Corinthians 23:4, it says, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. See, he was facing some overwhelming odds, and he was alarmed, and the first thing Jehoshaphat did was he fasted and inquired of the Lord. What do you do when you get alarmed? Ouch. Huh? What do you do when you get alarmed? You freak? You know? You run to the Lord? You fast? You do what? What is it? What is it you do? And I'm going to tell you, God wants you to run to Him every time you get alarmed. And in the church, Acts 13:2, in the church of Antioch, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Later in Acts 14:23, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they put their trust. And see, we make flippant decisions like that. And I'm going to tell you, I'm just telling you, as a church leader, this is convicting to me. Okay? This is convicting to me. God's wearing me out because we make so many decisions in this church without fasting and praying. And I'm going to tell you what, it will ruin a church, and I want to already ask God for forgiveness for any damage that we've done. Okay? But the cool part about it is God is faithful and we can start over and we can get forgiven and we can start in the right place, okay? We got a prayer and fasting. Guys, so when I ask y'all to pray and fast about something, man, I want y'all to pray and fast about it because I'm serious. We will never see God show up in here the way God wants to show up in here if we're not serious.
It's getting rough, then. Spiritual warfare. is that? And Jesus fasted. Jesus fasted for 40 days. Can y'all hear me?
No, I'm going to yell then. All right. Jesus fasted for 40 days before being tempted by Satan, and Moses fasted for 40 days before writing the Ten Commandments. See, it's a big deal for them to get along with God. It seems like they would fast any time they really wanted to hear from God. If you really want to hear from God, try fasting. Try going without some food. Don't, 40 days, don't want to get that out of your mind. All right. I ain't talking about 40 days, okay? We're going to help you out here in a minute, all right? Do not look somber at the hypocrites. Do not like the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces and show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, wash your face, or put oil on your head and wash your face, and that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not be like the hypocrites. Don't go fasting, coming in, oh man, I'm so dang hungry. I've been fasting for a week. You know, it's above and beyond the Call of Duty type thing, you know. I'm going to tell you what, you've received your reward in full if you do that. But if you do it in secret, the Bible said God will reward you. You're not just going hungry. When you do it with the right heart and with the right purpose, God will show up, I promise you. Maybe not like you want to. God got a sneaky way coming in the other door sometimes, you know. I'm going to tell you, His ways are higher than my ways, and He don't always let me in on them, you know? Fasting, just like prayer, is between you and God, okay? How long, how you fast, and why you fast, it's not on you. That's God's deal. When you quit, it's God's deal. Everybody wants some rules of what real fasting looks like. I'm going to give you some guidelines here, but I don't want you to look at these guidelines here in a minute as rules, because rules get you nowhere. I'm talking about a relationship with God. God tells you when to start. God tells you why to do it. And God tells you when to quit. That's true fasting. And some things that I've learned from fasting. It's not natural. I'm telling you what, it ain't natural. When you begin, it's supernatural. Okay, because the minute you decide in your mind you're going to fast, you're going to get hungry. How many of y'all missed a meal during the day and never even realized it? I'll tell you what, if you decide that you're going to fast for a spiritual purpose, I'm promising you, you're going to realize it. Because it's not natural. It's not natural to fast. It's not natural to deny yourself food. It's natural to go to the cupboard and get whatever it is when you get hungry, right? That's what's natural. It's not natural. And do not deny the fact that there's spiritual warfare. The devil does not want you to fast. And when you decide to fast, not only are you going to get hungry in 5 minutes, you know, the minute you decide in your mind, it seems like you get hungry. Stuff starts going. Then you go to work and somebody wants to take you to lunch. You know? You know? You know, or you forget that you had potluck that week or whatever, you know? You forget, okay? You declare this fast and you're like, man. And then the devil says, well, God didn't say you had to do it for this long. Come on, let's go on and eat, you know? But you know, and I think there's some legitimate things. I think there's times, and I've done this before, where I forgot I was fasting and it come lunchtime and I just ate. I was like, dang it, you know? You know? But you know what you do? You know what you do? Sorry, God. Go back to fasting, you know? Get back on track. Anytime you mess up, just get back on track. God loves you, okay? I mess up, you mess up, that's why y'all laughing. Everything I say that's funny is because y'all dealing with it too. You know? That's what makes stuff funny. Because you realize it's you too. Okay? That's right. And I've learned perseverance. Because man, there's times I've went through and I'm like, yes. And you know when you persevere through something that you know you didn't want to do and you do it because you love God, is it fun? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it a spiritual victory? Doesn't it grow you in Christ? It's awesome, huh? Perseverance. And I've learned humility as well. Because when I come off my fast, I got food. You know? That's usually a big old meal. Somebody cooking for me or something, you know, that I'm already looking forward to. But you know, there's people that don't have food. I've learned humility. There's people that got that same hunger pain in that I had in my stomach. Maybe I was there 2-3 days, whatever, 1 hour, whatever it is. And I can relieve that pain, and they can't. And we got to think about folks, you know? And so I've learned some humility that, you know what? Why do I deserve this and they don't? You know? And so it brings you back to the ground. It brings you back and says, God, teach me something. And just the obedience. If God tells you to fast and you don't, because it doesn't say if you fast. It says when you fast. If you have never fasted and you're a Christian, you're disobedient. But the cool part is, you get to be obedient tonight. Or tomorrow, or whenever God tells you to. If you already got supper plans, whatever. God knew. You know, I don't know. You just do what God tells you to do, okay? And don't just fast just to go hungry. Make it, there's got to be some purpose there, okay? There's got to be some purpose there. Another thing I've learned is we serve a God that answers prayers. He not only answers them, He wants to answer them. He's just trying to get us lined up to ask the right question. That's what God wants. And so, how do you get started in fasting? There's a deal called a partial fast. That's miss a meal, okay? It's not all day, you know, because it's just like running a marathon. You can't start just fasting. I mean, I guess you can. If God tells you to do it, okay? But I tell you, enjoy some of the benefits, because you get some spiritual benefit by just missing one meal if you miss it for a purpose, you know? You can fast. That's a good way to start. Miss one meal, okay? That's a partial fast. But the normal fast was a 24-hour period from sunup to sundown. Okay? They were fasting food, but then they would take water. Okay? Sometimes you can food and you can drink water, okay? No food but water. Ask God what kind of fast that you want, that make sure it's for a spiritual purpose. Don't just do it to see if you can. Okay? Do it because God tells you to do it. And then there's an absolute fast. That's 3 days everything. And it's possible. Okay? It's possible. But I think it says you can go, I don't know how many days without water. The human body is pretty resilient, you know. You can make it. It ain't going to be fun, you know. But you've got a God on your side that makes it fun, okay. If you're doing it for the right reason. If you're just doing it like a marathon, if you're doing the marathon for the right reason, when you get to the finish line, even though you're tired, I've seen so many people, they're just so exhilarated that they made it, you know. Because they did it for a purpose and not just to run, okay. Don't fast just to go hungry. But then there's a supernatural fast. That's 40 days. You better know God called you to do that one. Because if God ain't in it, you will die. I ain't saying you can't do it. I'm just telling you that you better know what you're doing, okay? Supernatural fast. God can do some stuff, okay? Whether we're giving, praying, or fasting, we should always look to God for direction, approval, and blessing. Let me tell you what, He's worthy of any sacrifice. Amen?
Amen.
He is definitely worthy. So my prayer for us, okay, and I'm closing right now. My prayer is that we'd be a people who would dare to give and pray and fast like God has shown us to do in His Word. I dare you to try God, because He will show out in your life, okay? And it will change what this body looks like when we begin to pray and fast like the Bible tells us to do, okay? That we'd be in such an intimate relationship with Him that through prayer and fasting, He would use us to set captive free from the bondage of sin and so many of our friends and co-workers. How many of y'all got friends, family, co-workers need Jesus? That's reason enough to fast. Okay? It's reason enough to fast. That we care enough about people that we would intercede for them even when it's not convenient. And that we want God's will so bad that we would give sacrificially, pray without ceasing, and fast as an act of worship. Like I said before, it's not natural. It's supernatural. All right? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank You for these people. Lord, I thank You for their attentiveness, Lord. I just thank You the fact that every one of us want to be closer to You. And so, God, show us what that is, God. For one person in here, it may just be giving up a Dr. Peppers, you know. Start somewhere, God. It may be something. God, we need to do something to draw close to You, whatever that is, God. If it's through prayer, if it's through fasting, God, but let us be obedient to You. Lord, we would be the authentic Christians that we want to be at Living Hope Bryan, Lord, so that we can impact this community. Lord, thank You for this series that is just dissecting our hearts and our souls to the core. Thank You for this, God. Because when You're through with us, God, we're going to be a light that shines so bright in this community, God, if we will allow You to be God in our life. So, God, I pray that these people here tonight, would commit to you, God, to pray, commit to you to fast, and just commit to you their lives, because you're worth any sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.